Nora's voice is husky. She tilts her head down to my chest and swipes her tongue across my nipple. Her teeth graze it, and she flicks at my hardened nipple with her tongue. The sensation shoots straight to my groin. No one has ever touched me there, let alone used their mouth on me. My heart is racing, more than usual, and I'm both excited and a little afraid. Not because I don't want this, but because it's all so new to me. I heard someone say once that there was a sweet spot between thrill and fear, and it's a spot I think I've jumped right into the middle of. I nod in delayed response. She presses her lips against my chest. She makes a humming sound in the back of her throat. I love your body. She moves her hands up to my neck. Her fingers skim over my clammy skin, and my cheeks heat under her compliment. Her hands span my shoulders and back down my chest. It takes everything in me not to writhe under her. You're one of those people who don't have to work out to have an amazing body, aren't you? Nora gives me a conspiracy-filled smile. Actually, don't answer that. I want to imagine that you work out twice a day to look like this. Her fingers leave my chest and travel down my stomach. Her long nails drag down the ridges of muscle. I move my hand to her bare behind. I love your body. I grab a handful of her thick ass and she purrs, literally purrs from my touch, and I want to hear that noise again. You have that kind of body that men have bowed to since the history of time. I think back to all the ancient beauties and the spells they cast on men. Despite my love of all things history, in this moment, naked beside her, I can't think of a single one of their names. Hardly, she snorts. I love my body, she says with certainty, but it took me a long-ass time to get there. My teenage years were awful, with every girl on TV a size zero and airbrushed to death. Even the girls at my school, I went to a private school, and there were all these tiny little blondes with rich daddies. From magazines to movies to the hallways, there were no girls who looked like me. This part of her, the insecure teenager, tugs at my heartstrings. Having been with Dakota, who is darker skinned than Nora, I remember these problems coming up. If society tells us that all women should look a certain, very specific way, who are the young girls such as Nora, with two races running through their veins, supposed to look up to? I try to think of Nora as a happy teenager, and it brings a smile to my lips. How were you as a teenager? I would have liked to know you then. She laughs, a small sound. Oh, no, you wouldn't have. I was wild. Too wild for you. Too wild for me? Once again, I'm reminded that I'm not the life of the party. Since when is being tame so bad? Why is it that girls and women alike always want the drama and wild nights? Why are illegal street races and explosive arguments and gut-wrenching angst more fun than lying on the couch in each other's arms and watching Netflix? What's that thing everyone is saying? Netflix and chill? Yeah, that's it. Why can't women just be happy with Netflixing and chilling? Netflix has all the good shows and movies now anyway. I got in a lot of trouble with my school, my parents. To say that they were embarrassed by me would be the understatement of the century. I study her, this wild, fiery woman. I drag my fingers down her bare back. Even her back is sexy. Who would have thought a back could be so sexy? The soft line of ridges down her spine curve into her full ass, and I brush my fingers over it, gently squeezing a handful of her flesh. Everyone has their own way of crying for attention. Her eyes change. Little storms brew in the green of them. I don't know if that's what I wanted. I've offended her now. Great. I didn't mean to upset you. I draw small circles on her skin and hope that she doesn't get up or move away from me. I like her body pressed against mine like this. I like the warmth of her enveloping me. She sighs, then licks her lips. It's fine. I mean... She stares up at the ceiling with a thoughtful expression. I guess when I really think about it, I did want attention. My sister, Stassi, she has always been the center of my parents' universe, and I was just a little speck in the abyss, not even bright enough to be a star. Not even a star. I look at her closely, contemplate the longing in her voice. I memorize her face, the little freckles on her forehead and the small scar near her chin. It's so light that I never noticed it before. I thumb over it, wondering where it came from. My eyes follow up to hers and back down to her mouth. I think about her bright laughter, her fiery sass, her blazing confidence. She's certainly a star. If people were stars, she would be the North. And what about you? Nora snuggles closer. How are you as a teen? Wild as a boar? She giggles. I shake my head. Hardly. I read a lot and just hung out with my friends. Nora's fingers feel so good on me. Did you have a lot of friends? Nope. Like two. Well, everyone at your school must have been too stupid to realize how great a friend you are. She says that like it's the most sure thing in the world. I chuckle. That's one way to look at it. Nora's fingers climb up my neck to my chin. It's the only way. If I had a friend like you in high school, my life would have been easier. That reminds me. She looks up at me while brushing over my facial hair. You've been such a rock for Tessa these last few months. I'm so glad she has you. When I look away from her praise, she turns my chin back to her. Seriously, you're such a rare kind of person. I don't think you realize how special you are. It sounds stupid and weird and corny, but special is too light of a word for you. My cheeks are on fire. I would do just about anything for Tessa. I know you would. This time it's Nora who looks away. Anyway, what kind of books did you read? Back to the superficial subjects. I'm okay with this. I can only take so many compliments plus sex within a 1 hour period. Mostly fantasy. I loved all of the Lord of the Rings books, Harry Potter. I liked some dystopian, too. I mean, I'll read just about anything. I hate dystopian, Nora groans. I gently shove at her shoulder and smile. What? How could you? She rolls her eyes and props herself up on her elbows. She tucks her hair behind her ear and licks her lips. Because, let me tell you why. In nearly every single one of them, there's some warrior chick who's like 15 and who has these amazing friends, and together they're strong enough to save the world, of course. Let me tell you, at 15, I had no fucking idea who I was, and I sure as hell couldn't have saved the world. I disagree. You could totally save the world. She nods. Yeah, sure, now I could. But as a teen, I felt weak and confused, and sometimes I made shitty decisions. Where are those books? Her passion and ferocity make me like her even more. I don't know. Maybe you should write one. She smiles at me, and my breath gets caught in my throat. Yeah, I should. I bet it would be a hit. I don't doubt that it would. I would love to read anything she wrote. I've thought about writing something myself many, many times, but I'm not sure I've had a dynamic enough life yet. Are you hungry? Nora sits up, taking my eyes with her. God, she's so fucking hot. I can't believe I just had sex with her. I'm always hungry. She grabs my hand and pulls me up. Let's go. I'll make us some food. I would rather do something else, I say, feeling rather brave. Nora's brows rise in surprise. The night's not over. We can do both, she says with a mischievous smile, and drags me out of bed. Chapter 19. We are somewhat dressed, her braless and wearing one of my WCU t-shirts with a pair of my boxers, me in thin cotton pants. And when I try to put on a shirt, Nora yanks the gray cotton from my hands and tosses it across the room. Shaking her head, she grabs my hand and pulls me out of the room. Nora holds me tightly, her hands always so warm. So we walk, hand in hand, into my kitchen, where she goes straight to the fridge. I lean on the counter and she busies herself. Her head pops out from behind the open fridge door. Do you like cabbage? I recoil. Does anyone? My mom's cabbage rolls would smell up the whole house for at least 2 days. It was horrible. A smile creeps across her face. Have you had it recently? I shake my head. She nods and closes the fridge. Will you try it my way? If you don't like it, I'll make pizza. I can name about 30 things I would rather do than eat cabbage. 29 of them have to do with Nora's naked body. Unless I get to eat cabbage off it? I wonder how hard it would be to get her to agree to that. Nora walks to me, a whole cabbage head in her hand. I back away with a smile, and she advances on me, her smile even bigger than mine. How about this? She moves the head of cabbage behind her back. If you promise to take 2 bites, I'll make cookies, too. She licks her lips, and I don't tell her that with a mouth like that, I would do many, many things for her. I press my fingers to my chin, pretending to be weighing the bargain in my head. I love to tease her and watch her eyes crinkle and sparkle, and the sassy smile that fills her face gives me the instant gratification I was searching for. And you'll feed the cookies to me? She nods, beaming. And the cabbage. I walk over to her, lean into her body so that the fridge touches her back, and bring my lips to her ear. You've got yourself a deal, little lady. She's breathless when she pulls away from me. A few minutes later, when the oven is preheating and Nora has already cut and pulled apart the cabbage leaves, I decide to try to connect a few more pieces of the puzzle that is her. I start with simple questions. Did you grow up in Washington? She shakes her head. No, I lived in California for a while when I was young. Then we moved to Las Vegas, then to Washington. Wow. I remember the move from Michigan to Washington, feeling like my little world was being flipped upside down. For the first 2 months, I missed my house, my school, my girlfriend. Well, I missed Dakota all the time, until now. Guilt rumbles somewhere inside me. I miss her sometimes still. I've never been to California or to Las Vegas. How is Vegas? Is that where you were wild? I tease. As if in reply, she asks me to grab the olive oil for her, and I walk to the cabinet to look for it. I didn't even know we had olive oil. When I find it, she reaches for it. I lift it high in the air. Is Vegas where you were wild? I ask again, lifting the bottle too high for her to grab. She looks up at me, and then to the bottle, and back to my eyes. She's humored and surprised by my game. Yes and no. I was 16. She moves closer to me, brushing her body against mine as she tries for the bottle again. Tell me about the yes part of that. She presses against me farther. Her breasts push up against the top of my stomach, and it starts to require effort to keep my hand in the air. I feel her fingers gently stroke over my sweats, and when she wraps her fingers around my growing cock, I can't control the groan from my lips. She moves her hand, up and down over the fabric. My vision is foggy, and my head is swimming when she leans her face into my neck and her hot breath caresses me. Got it, she says. And it takes me a moment to realize what she means. I stare at the olive oil bottle in her hand. You cheated! I reach for her arms and pull her back to me. So unfair. Her hair smells like coconut, and it's soft against my lips. I kiss her head again, and she melts into me. Holding her closer, I press my thumb and forefinger under her chin to lift her eyes to me. No one said I played fair, she says with a perilous smile. I lean into her and press my lips to hers, but she ducks out of the way and untangles herself from my grasp. When she gets back to the stove, the devilish woman turns and winks at me. Winks! I love how wicked she is. I try to keep my hands off her while she talks. She tells me about her parents, their big house in Las Vegas, her summer spent learning to play the piano. Piano lessons, a big pool, and the hot Nevada sun? Sounds like heaven. She brushes the cabbage leaves with olive oil and tells me stories about her sister pranking her, and the winter in Southern California, where there's really no winter at all. She talks about palm tree leaves and horrendous traffic. She made a friend named Pedra, and Nora's sister, Stassi, met her husband, Pedro's brother, that winter. The doctor husband I saw online, I realize. His big white smile and gazillion certificates fill my mind. Nora remembers that winter with a pained expression, and I remember the Ken doll from the Facebook picture. "Did you have a boyfriend there?" I ask, prying. Nora doesn't turn to me when she answers. "Something like that." Why is she so secretive? It drives me crazy, crazier than crazy. "How was he?" I know she doesn't want to talk about him, but I do. Before responding, Nora opens the oven and places the sheet pan full of green leaves on the rack. She sets the timer and finally turns around to face me. "Are you sure you want to go there?" Nora's questioning eyes lift to mine. "Once we go there, we can't go back. I just want you to know that before we do." "Do I want to go there? Where exactly are we going?" I want to know as much as I possibly can about her, but what if I don't really want to know once it's all laid bare? What if the reality is worse than this fantasy land we're playing in? Can't I just stay here a little longer? What's the harm in being ignorant? I decide that the saying, "ignorance is bliss," was made for moments like this. I look at her, her hands clasped in front of her body, her eyes staring into mine, and decide to live in ignorant bliss just a little while longer. "What's your favorite food?" I ignore the chill that runs down my spine when she looks a little more relieved than anyone should. Chapter 20. Nora was right. Her cabbage was delicious. It didn't taste anything like the smelly rolls my mom would make. She pulled the leaves off and sliced them up, then threw them onto a plate for us to munch on. That's it. And it was much, much better than I thought it would be. Nora sat perched up on the counter and fed me bite after bite. It tasted like garlic and salt, and given that she kissed my lips after each bite I took, I ate the entire pan. "I told you it was good." She squirts soap onto the pan she cooked it on. I watch her clean the dishes and wonder if I should offer to help. I probably should. "Can I help you?" Nora turns, half surprised, half smiling, like I just offered a fluffy white puppy. "Let me get this straight." She licks her lips and I walk closer. "You not only have the tongue of a saint, the body of a god, and the brain of a philosopher, you also want to help wash dishes?" Something pulls at my chest with each word of praise. Her expression is amused, and I love the way her unguarded smile hangs from her lips, just as I love the way my boxers hang low on her hips. My shirt doesn't swallow her. The fabric is somewhat tight against her chest and hips, but loose on the arms. Now my shirt will smell like her. I'll never have to wash it again. Okay, maybe not never again, but not anytime soon. I barely do laundry anyhow. I stand behind her as she pretends to wash the same pan that has been in her hands for 2 minutes now. What is she daydreaming about? Me helping her with dishes? Is it that simple to climb into her heart? Finally, I say, "That I do, little lady." Her long fingers hold on to the sponge and she dips it back into the soapy water. Again, with the little lady? She tilts her head slightly, exposing her neck. I can't tell if she's purposely encouraging my need for her or if her body is calling to me without intention. Either way, I'm a lucky SOB. "I'm older than you," she notes. I laugh under my breath and watch small bumps grow on her neck. Did I cause that? Holy shit, I think I did. I wrap my arms around her waist and she leans back into me, her bare neck calling my name. I kiss her there, just above the curve of her throat. "I'm bigger than you." I kiss her neck again. My tongue swipes over her warm skin and she groans, breathless. My hands move to her hips and I give her a light squeeze. "Bigger, are you?" Her voice is small and gruff. Nora pushes back, her ass pressing against me. "I am." My hands travel to her breasts and I rub them softly, gently caressing her flesh. When my fingers find her nipples, covered only by the thin fabric of my cotton t-shirt. My fingers tug at them, and they harden under my thumb. I tweak them. With each pinch, my touch grows stronger. Her moans transform into mewls. Her whining gasps make me throb for her. Her unmoving hands are still in the water, and I move one of my hands down to her stomach. I stop there, unsure how far to take it. As if she can hear my thoughts, she looks over her shoulder at me. "You can be whoever you want with me, remember?" I can be who I want to be with her. No pressure, no worrying about whether I sound cool or lame or strong or weak. I don't have to push through the fields of doubt in my mind. I don't have to question every single thing I say or do. I can sidestep all that. With her, there's a calm silence like I've never known. She turns the faucet off, and I watch her rinse the soap from her hands. "What do you want, Landon? Tell me." Nora moves her hips, rubbing her ass against me. "Don't be afraid. I want you." Her hand wraps around me through my thin pants. "I need you." "Turn around," I growl, barely recognizing my own voice. Nora doesn't hesitate. She turns around to face me. The sheepish gaze isn't one that I'm used to from her. Her expression is timid. She's panting. Her shyness is new, but so, so hot. "Do you want me to tell you what I want?" My voice comes out much clearer than in my head. In my head, I'm nervous, excited. I'm jumping up and down with the anticipation of touching her. But here, in reality, I'm standing tall. My unwavering gaze swallows her, and I can't believe I'm this damn lucky. She nods, her eyes staring right through me. "I want you to sit in this chair." I reach for the chair closest to me and pull her away from the sink. Her hands are still dripping with water, and the front of my pants are wet. She sits down in the chair, hands folded on her lap. "Stand back up," I instruct. When she obeys, I tug at my briefs to pull them down her thighs. I lift the shirt up over her head and watch, enthralled with the way her tanned breasts hang heavy and full, how her nipples are hard and ready. Her body is something to behold, and I drop to my knees to worship her. "Sit down," I say when my knees hit the floor. She sits, and I run my fingers up her legs to the tops of her thighs. A shiver runs through her, and she watches me, her breath hitching each time my eyes meet hers. I gently spread her thighs and bend my head down to kiss the tops of them. Nora's fingers thread through my hair, and she caresses my head as I give her body my full devotion. My fingers tease her, running over her pussy, and I push one inside her. I watch her face as her eyes roll back and her mouth parts in ecstasy. I pump my fingers slowly and tease her with my lips, softly brushing them over her sex. She groans and groans with every stroke of my fingers. I love how vocal she is. It does amazing things for my ego. After a few seconds of torment, I end her suffering by swiping my tongue over her wetness. "Oh God," she says, and I repeat the motion. She tastes like sugar-coated honey, and I've always had a sweet tooth. When her legs stiffen in the chair, I wrap my arms around her thighs and lift them just enough to support her as she comes. I press my mouth against her, hard. She says my name. She says how sweet I am. "You're so good, Landon. So, so good." I taste her as she climaxes, and I hold her legs still as she recovers. She's completely naked, sitting on the chair, breathing hard, and I don't want to stop. I can feel her throbbing through my tongue, pulsing from the orgasm she just had. I'm not done. She told me to do what I wanted, be who I want to be. This is who I want to be. Someone who worships her body and finds pleasure in her pleasure. By the third time she comes, her body has turned to jelly. When she falls back, done and finished and sated, I pull her down to the floor and into my arms. She melts into me, and I stroke her back with soft touches, and after a few minutes, I think she may have fallen asleep. "I tell you to do what you want with me, and you make me come three times," she whispers, burying her head farther into my chest. Her arms tighten around me, and I find an immense satisfaction in cradling her on my kitchen floor. I touch her cheek and brush her hair off her face. That's what I wanted to do. Nora sits up just enough to look at me, and repositions her body so her thighs are on either side of my hips and her breasts are in my face. Bare breasts, I might add. It takes every ounce of self-control not to lick them. Can I keep you? She smiles playfully. I decide to lick her breasts, and when I do, she wraps her hand around my neck and pushes my face into them. I could live in here, buried in her beauty, I lamely think to myself. I could definitely just sit here all day and night with my face buried in her bosom. Do people still use the word bosom? Probably not. She giggles when I bite at her. Is that a yes? I nod, rubbing my face in her chest. After humoring me for a few minutes, she drags me off the floor, and I finish washing the dishes while she makes the cookie dough that I earned for eating the cabbage. If Nora promised to feed me my vegetables each day, I would become a herbivore in no time. We could eat kale smoothies and grainy cereal things all day if she made them. When I finish drying the dishes, I join her at the counter and watch her roll the dough into balls. White chips are in them and something that looks like a berry. What kind of cookies are those? White chocolate raspberry. While the cookies bake, my small apartment fills with that familiar, sweet smell, and I decide that Nora should come over every day. I would be very, very happy with that. Where does she live now? I had nearly forgotten that she came to my house with her hands full of her belongings. Are you back in your apartment? I ask when she sits up on the counter and I stand between her legs. No. And that's it. Just a no. Where are you staying? Do you need to stay here? No. She smiles this time, and I brush my nose over hers. My sister is coming tomorrow, and she's going to let me stay in her condo across the bridge. In Manhattan? That's far from your work. It's not too far. You can stay here. She wraps her arms behind my neck and pulls me closer. No, I can't. Why? But Nora shakes her head. So, if your sister is coming tomorrow, does that mean I won't see you? She nods. I would like to meet her. Nora's back stiffens slightly, and she shakes her head. Meet my sister? Oh, that's a horrible idea. She smiles at me, but I'm not smiling. She's using that beautiful face as a shield against my intrusions again. A horrible idea? Why would that be a horrible idea? If we are trying to get to know each other better, why would I not meet her sister? It's not like I asked her to marry me, I just want to meet some of her family. And why is that? I hope she can't hear the uncertainty in my voice. Nora pulls away from me and leans back against the cabinets. My sister is not someone you just meet. It's a whole production. We would have to plan this much, much better. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, she and Amin are not people who just meet people. As Nora spoke, her voice became increasingly frantic, so very different from what it was moments ago. What is she so afraid of? Why would it be such a big deal for me to meet her sister? I look around my small kitchen, down my narrow hallway. I recall the size of my bank account and take note of my sweatpants. I remember how well her sister was dressed in all those Facebook pictures. Sleek hair and heavy makeup, perfect white teeth and a pristine white dress. In one pic, her wrists were covered in diamonds as sparkly as her teeth as she held one side of her husband's award. Well, awards. As in award after award after award. This time it's me who pulls away. Okay, so I won't meet them. I don't explain my sudden change of thought. And Nora doesn't ask me to. Chapter 21. It's a happy discovery that my bed is the perfect size for two bodies. It's the exact size for Nora to have to cuddle up next to me. Her body is warm, as it always is, and she's lying in the crook of my arm, staring up at me with those seductive eyes of hers. The shine in them is downright provocative, and happiness looks so damn good on her. The loud knocking of something against the wall is just too intrusive to ignore. Muffled sounds come from Tessa's bedroom, and we try to ignore them, but they are just so extreme. Suddenly, I'm back in my mom's house in Washington, hearing them having sex in the room down the hall. I don't even think those two try to be quiet. Harden and Tessa are awfully loud, Nora laughs. I do, too. Oh, this is nothing. Wait until you hear them fight. The people in Jersey will hear them. I've experienced this plenty of times. They don't make walls thick enough to block out those two.
Are they always this loud? She whispers.
Yes, but still not anything close to when they fight.
He's met his match, though. Tessa isn't someone to trample on.
Nora's voice drips in admiration. Yeah, he has. I don't say how many tears it took to get to that point. I thought I would have to kill them both on a few occasions. They are both stubborn as all be it. My phone rings from the nightstand, and I reach for it. Dakota's number pops up, flashing and practically screaming in my dark bedroom. Nora leans over me and reads the screen.
Dakota.
My chest aches. I hate this part of dating, or whatever this is that I'm doing.
Answer it.
I shake my head and ignore the call. Nora leans up on her elbow.
Why didn't you answer it?
Why? Perhaps because it would be incredibly awkward to talk to her in front of you? Because she's my ex and it's weird between us and even weirder between you two? Wouldn't that bother you? I ask, unsure how to handle this. Nora scoots up into a sitting position.
If there's something going on between you still, then yes. But if you don't have a reason for me not to hear what you're talking about, then no, it wouldn't bother me. Lies bother me, not truths.
Funny, coming from you, I want to say. She doesn't lie, but she's the queen of omission and keeping truths to herself. I don't think I have anything to hide, really. I just don't want it to be weird. I know you guys were friends.
Nora snorts.
We were never friends. Well, roommates. That still qualifies as murky water. I don't know what happened between you two that made things turn sour, except me. Was that the only reason?
Yes.
A yes, that's all I get.
This frustrating woman.
Why won't you let me meet your sister? I ask suddenly. If she wants to evade questions about her and Dakota, I will just shine the spotlight on something else. I look directly at her, and she tucks her messy hair behind her ear. Is it because I'm a broke college student? She jerks, offended.
No. What the hell kind of question is that?
A reasonable question, Miss travels the world with a family of surgeons. A fair one, I respond to her angry glare.
Not fair at all. She retorts.
How do I tell her that I was a grade-A stalker and found her sister's Facebook profile? Should I even tell her? Yes, I should, because I demand honesty from her. It's only fair, and she's all about being fair, right? So I should say something. But she'll be mad. How important is being fair, really? Sometimes it's better to admit things, right? I mean, if I were wearing an ugly shirt and asked Nora if it was ugly, should she lie? Yes. Images of me wearing one of those vacation dad shirts, the ones with the flowers on them, pop into my head. Yikes. I make myself promise to never be that kind of dad. I want to be a cool dad, and if Nora goes around lying about my shirts, I can't be one. So, no, maybe omitting is just as bad as lying. I found your sister's Facebook page, and I looked through it. I saw her husband and his gazillion certificates and awards. I saw your beach vacations and your yellow bathing suit. Nora's face pales, and she sits in silence. I saw her big house and the brand new car he bought her, and I saw the guy who had his arms wrapped around you. Nora's breath catches in her throat. I've truly shocked her, and after a few seconds of her blankly staring at me, she manages,
Why did you do that?
Do what? It's Facebook, it's public property. I defend my stalking with the lamest excuse I could have mustered. That's a horrible answer, and a poor excuse for being a creep. Nora shakes her head and moves farther from me. How long ago was this? Just today, when I was waiting for you to come back. Was it just today? Time doesn't seem to make any sense since I met this woman. What else did you find? Her hands are shaking slightly. I look down at them, and she immediately stills them by folding them together. Nothing. You don't seem to really have a Facebook of your own. She nods, not meeting my eyes. And I realize something. She totally has a Facebook.
What exactly were you hoping to find?
Her eyes are on her hands, clasped in her lap. She's moved farther from me now. Not so fast. I grab her arms and pull her back to me. She doesn't stop me, but she does sit up, her thighs framing my waist. Is dating always like this? This squeezing feeling that no matter what's happening, there's always something hidden around the corner waiting for your happiest moments to occur so it can crush you and take them away? What are you hiding? My voice is level, unlike my head right now. Nora shakes her head.
Why do you assume I'm hiding something?
I roll my eyes at her and put one arm behind my head so I can get a better look of her on my lap. My other hand is resting on her leg. It feels like the only connection between us right now, like a fraying thread keeping us together. Maybe because you are. You don't want me to meet your sister. You have some secret Facebook page. You won't talk about your ex-boyfriend or any other relationships, for that matter. And you've shut me down when I've tried to understand why you hide so many things from me. I sigh and lift my upper body to rest my back against the headboard for more support. Nora breathes, gives me that fake smile.
You know what? You want to meet my sister?
Let's go, then. You can meet her after I get off work tomorrow. What time is your shift tomorrow? I nod. I'm off at 2. She nods.
Good. It's settled then.
Now stop snooping around my shit unless you want me to expose yours too. I furrow my brows and look up at her. My shit? I don't have any shit to expose. Nora laughs.
Oh yes, you do.
I grip her hips and pull her forward on my body so her butt sits right at the bottom of my stomach. Wrapping my arms around her back, I pull her to lie on my chest. Explain. I kiss at her, right beneath her ear.
You and Dakota. I would say that's sure something to talk about.
You hide your relationship, whatever's left of it, from me. You don't answer her calls when I'm around. That's pretty shady for someone pretending to be a saint over there. This woman is absolutely insane. I turn her cheek so she has no choice but to kiss me. I don't have anything to hide from you, aside from the fact that Dakota and I are friends. She wants more, I think, but I can't give her more. I take Nora's face into my nervous hands. You've taken it all from me. There's nothing left to give to her. You have it all. Nora softly kisses me against the corner of my mouth. Then her mouth grows fierce. Her tongue makes smooth circles on mine.
That sounds good,
she says into my mouth. You sound good, I mutter. And I'm glad she doesn't seem to notice or care. Her mouth is hot on mine.
Chapter 22. Nora. Man, is he good at distracting me. I pull back a little to be able to focus again. A few inches separate our bodies, but I keep my mouth on his. His lips are so soft. Too soft for me to be able to pay attention to anything else. I need to regain my composure. I open my eyes while he kisses me. His hand moves from my thigh, so I have a tiny bit of control over my body for now. I look around the room, trying to find a focal point. I spot a hockey poster on the wall. Two rows of beady eyes on bulky men gawk back at me. Each of them, hockey stick in hand, is staring down at me like I've done something that deserves their judgmental, yet surprisingly hunky stares. Why the hell does Landon have this hanging over his bed? Sometimes his age is so there, like it's a massive neon sign over his head screaming at me. Like now, when I'm lying here in his bed, reading the calendar schedule for a hockey team. He clearly doesn't have women in here often, which kind of makes me love the poster a little more. But other times, he is nothing but pure man. He has an old soul, a wise beyond his years smile, and a heart of dripping gold. He's careful, and each of his touches means something. He puts thought behind his glances, his kisses. He doesn't just put his mouth on me. He puts his entire soul into me, taking a piece of me with every drawn breath. And his body. He has the body of a man. Threaded ropes of muscle make up his arms. His cheeks are covered in hair, and his broad shoulders carry the weight of so many others. He's the most thoughtful person, man or woman, I've ever come across. But no matter how I try to justify it, he's still 5 years younger than me. When our ages are pointed out, when they're focused on, the numbers change things. He feels young. I often feel old. The air shifts. The energy between us thrums a little louder. He's only in his second year of college. What do I have in common with him? His mouth moves down to my neck, and his tongue makes sweet swirls against my skin. Maybe I can name a few things we have in common. But then there's Dakota. She called him again. What am I going to do about this girl? I don't have the energy for this high school love triangle bullshit. I'm too old for that. I've done that. I've fought with friends over boys and cried my fair share into bottles of cheap wine. Landon didn't even have time to get her out of his system before I came around, pulling him in the other direction. Part of me can't possibly understand what he sees in her, besides her appearance. She's beautiful and works hard for the body she has. But inside, she's rude and dramatic and childish and... Am I really doing this? Am I lying here in his bed with his mouth on me, curating a list of reasons why his ex is awful? Is that the level I've stooped to? I drag my fingers down Landon's back as he continues to lick at my neck. I've never before felt this content with a man, and I sure as hell haven't ever met a man who, given complete control over my body, would choose only to use his mouth on me until I'm a blissful puddle cradled in his lap on the floor. Still, he hasn't had time to properly date anyone. He's never even gone out on a date with anyone other than her. He's living in his first apartment. I paid a mortgage on a condo. He hasn't had his college experience yet. I had my share of waking up on someone's lawn with a hangover. He's never even been to a college party. He's never had a one-night stand. Dakota is all he knows about women. He has roots with her. She owns a part of him that I'm never going to be able to take away. That part of him, all his first memories, will never be mine. But do I need them? He doesn't have my first either. I shared them with another man. Why does it bother me so much then? Is it because my ex isn't hanging over us, still calling my phone while we lie in bed together? My mind pushes a memory forward. The look on Cliff's face when Harden had him in a headlock. The way his bones crunched when Harden's boot pressed them into the floor. He sent Cliff here to check on me. I know he did, though I haven't had the courage to ask him. I would rather not confirm my worst suspicions. Dakota begged me right outside this very apartment to stay away from Landon. She wants another chance to make things right between them. I wish I knew what it was that tied them together so tightly. What is it that's hanging between them, left untouched and unhealed, open and bleeding out? Am I going to be strong enough to put pressure on that wound and find the stomach to stitch it up? That depends on what it is that they share. I know there's a reason he isn't ready to let her stand on her own. I just don't have a clue what it could be. It's not just her taking his virginity. It's something more. Still, It's not fair for me to demand to hear it when I'm not ready to share my past with him. Why would the universe allow this to happen? Why would it allow two people who are clearly still stuck in the limbo of our last relationships to become so attached to each other? I don't know why I let this mess continue anyway. I should have left it as flirty friend-of-a-friend relationship, but I didn't. Mostly because he became an itch I couldn't scratch, and partly because I just couldn't keep my distance. My thoughts of him quickly became unmanageable and uncontrollable, much like his mouth on my breasts right now. I hold the back of his neck, guiding his mouth to be greedy. This probably isn't the best time to think about all this, but this is the only time I have. I made a promise to Dakota that I had every intention of breaking, but the pinch of guilt is still there. She isn't that bad when she's not threatening to run her mouth about my life or kicking me out of an apartment that was just as much mine as hers. She can be funny, and even fun to be around. The first time I met her, she asked me to go dancing with her. I had just unpacked my boxes and wanted to get to know my new roommates, her and Maggie. Dakota got dolled up in a tight red dress and sparkly black shoes. She had her curly hair straightened out down her shoulders. She looked smoking hot and ready to take on the world, told me she had just gone through a breakup and needed to clear her head. I suggested she dance with Aiden, the tall blonde from her dance academy. If I had known what kind of breakup she had suffered through, I would have never suggested that. I was used to the typical breakups, my friends' boyfriends cheating on them, or one person or the other deciding to focus on a career. Those are the kind of breakups I'm used to being soothed by a night out with the girls. If I had known that half of her breakup was made up of Landon, I wouldn't have pushed her toward that guy. Back then, Landon was nothing more than a tiny picture cut out from a high school prom picture. He was this college freshman living across the country. Not until I hung out with Tessa the first time in New York did I put it all together. I had already started paying attention to Landon. We had already had our little moment in his bathroom. Dakota acts as if I purposely sought him out to prey on him just to hurt her. I'm not that evil. I could have pulled back from him when I realized that Tessa's perfect roommate, the epitome of everything I've wanted in a man wrapped into one, was also my roommate's ex-boyfriend. Landon was the nerdy, devoted boy from Michigan, the one who was afraid of hurting a fly when fucking. Dakota told us so many stories about Landon and his fear of trying new things. She told us once that she tried to get him to take her doggy style, and he finished before they even started, which, well, isn't good. I look up at Landon, the Landon who's mine and mine to keep, at least while his body is under mine. His hands are digging into my hips. His mouth is so possessive. He's saying the things his lips are normally too timid to reveal. I love how full I feel with him. It's hard to explain. He just makes me feel taken care of, satisfied, important, and just full of life, of happiness, I don't know. But I feel a sense of peace with him. I drag my nails down his stomach just hard enough to leave thin red marks. They're lines drawn on a battlefield. He's mine, I want to scream to Dakota. But maybe he isn't. Maybe he's too good for both of us, and we would be doing him a huge favor leaving him the hell alone. She would never, though. She wouldn't stay away from her crutch long enough for him to breathe, and I would like to think I open his lungs. I want him to be free around me, able to be himself and put his own needs first for once in his life. Dakota seems to want to keep him locked away in a childhood romance that she's too afraid to leave behind. If I knew what it was between them, I would have a better footing while trying to navigate. When she confronted me about him time after time, I should have learned my lesson. She isn't going away without a fight, and I'm too exhausted to give her one. Something has happened between them that made Landon her knight in shining armor, and she the perfect damsel in distress. But what about me? Where the hell does that leave me? I don't need Landon for the same reason she does, But does that make me less worthy of him because I want to bring him up and hold him there, like he deserves? I don't have the past that she shares with him, but I can make a good future for him if given the chance. Landon groans as I grind my hips over him. He's hard. He's hard for me. His hands are on my body, pulling and tearing at every inch of me. It's a desperate fury that I'm enjoying getting to know. I pull at his hair and drop my mouth to his ear. "You're so good, Landon. You're too good," I encourage, and he pants beneath me. He makes me feel like a queen. He isn't some peasant to me. He's the adored king. My king. And with him, we would rule equally. I wouldn't be stuffed into a dress and heels and forced to be a trophy wife for anyone. Not like Stassi. That was unfair. Amin loves her. I know he loves her. And a part of me is envious that their life is what it is. It's not that I want her life. I just want a partner. I don't need a big house with matching towels and china sets. I just want someone to want to spend time with me. I would rather have someone listen to me talk through a movie than wake up to a Mercedes wrapped in a big red bow. Landon's hands lift to my breasts and he fondles them, claiming the flesh in his strong palms. I would take this over any material thing. I could spend hours and days and weeks with him like this. But my time is running out. I don't have the luxury of time here. Dakota does. She has years on me. That makes her relationship with Landon more than some child love. That I could handle, if it was over. That same old parable about two childhood neighbors who grow up together and share lemonade on the steps of their childhood homes. Their friendship grows into love, and the rest is history. I had that too. Even though I find that predictable and a little cliche, there is something to be said about the convenience of it. I'm talking about something deeper. Something happens when you share a tragedy. I know this firsthand. I remember when the worst thing in my relationship with Amin's little brother was when he told me that my sister was pretty. I was jealous, and only 14. I grew out of my jealousy and went on to be friends with him after our breakup. Well, the first breakup. Since then, we've created our share of adult problems, and now that our siblings are married, the mess has become too big to clean up. Our relationship has been over for a while, regardless of the fine print. Our siblings remind us how perfect we are, and how we spent years eating their fancy cheeses and drinking their sour wine, which was twice my age at least. And now we're going to share a baby, our little niece, the darling angel child that my parents are expecting to mend the crumbled bridge between the two families. I'll be an aunt, he'll be an uncle, but we won't be together. I wouldn't hold my breath if I were my parents. I know that my sister and my parents blame me for the hostile relationship with his parents, but they only blame me because it's easier than admitting the truth. What was I thinking telling Landon that he can meet my sister?
What are you thinking about?
Landon kisses his way down the column of my neck and between my breasts. This sweet, sweet man. I can't tell him that I'm analyzing every bit of our relationship and deciding our future while he kisses every inch of my neck and chest. That I want you. My lips are on his chin, peppering his jaw before moving up to his lips. I lift my hips to him, letting him know what I want and how I want it.
Chapter 23 Landon. The Uber to her sister's apartment feels longer than the 37 minutes it was supposed to take. On my app, it says we have 6 more minutes until we arrive at the building on West 34th Street. I was going to take the subway, but this felt less chaotic. When I got home from my shift, I had a text from Nora with her sister's address, telling me to meet her there at 8. She didn't go into any further details, just address, time, and a smiley face. Nora was shy this morning when she left. She kissed me and whispered how much fun she had with me, but Harden and Tessa were there, so she didn't say much else. I have a feeling she wanted to get there before me for a reason. Maybe she wanted to talk to her sister privately first. I won't know exactly what I'm walking into until I cross the threshold of the Manhattan apartment. During the ride, I text Tessa twice, but she doesn't reply. I'm sure Harden has her otherwise occupied. I glance down at my phone again and do a text check-in with my mom and Ken. I don't mention my plans for the night. I don't need to stir the pot any more than I already have, and I don't want to give our parents any more table gossip than they've already got. I'm meeting Nora's sister, so I'm sure word will get back to my mom sooner or later anyway. "Is this it?" my shaggy-haired driver asks. His turn signal is on again, and I hope the street isn't a one-way this time. I think he's used to driving in Brooklyn, not Manhattan. This intersection is busy. We're between 5th and 6th Avenues somewhere. I haven't spent much time in Manhattan since I moved here. Now I get why locals don't spend a lot of time near all the tourist attractions. My driver repeats himself and finally turns down his radio. Apparently he really, really loves listening to Linkin Park. I wasn't sure anyone was left in the world who still played their Hybrid Theory album, but this fateful Uber ride proved me wrong. That album came out when I was in elementary school, but liking Linkin Park was a staple of being cool during my youth. Something I wasn't, but when wide-leg JNCO pants were a thing, I tried my best. I even wore a wallet chain. Oh man, I'm glad there were no social media in those days. If I had a Facebook or Twitter back then, there would be too many leftovers of my wannabe grunge days. To this day, I can't stand the smell of lemons because I spent the summer spraying the ends of my hair with my mom's Sun-In. I have a feeling that my driver had his own relationship with Sun-In. I glance out the window and read the all-capital white letters on the black awning in front of the building on our left. 408 West 34th Street. Yeah, I guess so. Here we go. I climb out of the car and straighten my shirt. I went for a simple, non-threatening look today. All black. The shirt is a little tighter than I would have liked, but that's what I get for shopping online and guessing at my size. It's not too snug, though. I think it looks fine. Well, I hope it does. As I get closer to the doorman, he waves at me. He's waiting by the entrance, sitting perched in a stool. He looks familiar, like a cartoon character or someone from a movie. When I approach him, I notice just how short he is. His little body is round, and his nose is a tiny bulb covered in broken capillaries. I brush my fingers over the manicured bushes lining the front of the brick building. Even the outside of this place looks expensive. I pick a small pink flower and toss it back. Why did I do that? Is it a weird impulse to pull a flower from its soil and rip it off? I can't even count the number of times I've done that without thinking. Am I like some secret sociopath who loves to rip flowers out by their roots and toss them back into the dirt? Am I overthinking this? Probably. The doorman and I exchange simple pleasantries, and then he asks me who I'm here to see. As he calls up to Nora's sister, I look around the inside of the building, which reminds me of a hospital. White walls, shiny surfaces, and that clean, like, pine sol and artificial aromas. It's nice, but the only decorations, fake flowers, just add to the hospital feel. The doorman indicates I can go up to the something or other floor and points at the elevators. I was too distracted to hear him right, and I'm a little shy about asking him to repeat himself, so I peer down the long hallway and wander over to where he pointed. All the while, I'm hoping Nora will pop out of nowhere and take me to the right place. This is the kind of building that I can't just roam in aimlessly without the cops being called. Like a miracle, the elevator opens in front of me and Nora is standing inside. Her long, dark hair is sleek and shiny, running down her shoulders in two glossy lines. It's beautiful. She's beautiful. Her eyes are made up, lined with black wings, and her eyebrows are darker, more defined. She looks so different. Not in a bad way, just in a way that I haven't before seen her. I'm used to her wearing makeup. The red lipstick from yesterday was hot. But today she looks like a woman. Her pristine black shirt and pants are gleaming, like her dark hair and dark eyes. The green is more prominent in her eyes now that the dark lines bring the color to the surface. Her outfit is sexy. The black shirt hangs off her shoulders, and the neckline scoops down like a heart over her cleavage. It's almost inappropriate for her to look this good when I'm supposed to behave myself in front of her family.